Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
If you can't hear me, I'll try to set up a microphone real fast so that you can. Anyway, yes, for the few of you that got it, thank you. Anyway, we are glad you are here tonight, and we had a great morning, but then again, as we were talking with a couple of people at church, it's like, well, why should we be surprised? Is this not what we have been praying for? And God's Spirit showed up, and that transformed the gathering into a time of worship, and worship we did. And so I have no reason to think that isn't exactly what's going to happen again tonight as we simply humble ourselves. Now, Peter wrote these words. He said, God resists the proud, or God opposes the proud. In other words, God stands against people that are prideful. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on the opposite side of God, because I'm thinking that's not a very good place to be when God is opposing us. So God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I believe we read a verse this morning that if we humble ourselves, in other words, we recognize how much we need God, and that's really all humility is, how much we need God. If we do that tonight, God's going to pour out his grace all over us. Let's humble ourselves. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this gathering. We thank you for this time that we can focus ourselves upon you. And Lord, we pray that the power and the movement of your Holy Spirit would come upon us again this evening. Lord, that we'd lay bare our hearts before you. Understanding, Lord, yes, there are some things in there that you need to take care of, that you need to take out of our lives. And so we lay them before you and say, Lord, we just want to be putty in your hands for you to mold and to shape. And Lord, tonight we again pray that through the songs that you'd be glorified. Yes. And we pray that through the message that you would speak with great clarity. Mm-hmm. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Realizing that the Holy Spirit of God is here and desiring to pour out revival in our hearts tonight, let's come with open hearts with intent that God will bless us and anoint us with his power and blessing. Our theme chorus every evening will be The Bond of Love, page 281. I ask you to turn there together for the theme chorus, followed by hymn number 515. Let's stand together as we praise the Lord in song. We are one in the bond of love, followed by Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Since Jesus Came Into My Heart.
Jesus.
And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, church, and you may be seated. This time, our adult ensemble will be coming and sharing a special selection. May your hearts be blessed as they sing for the glory of the Lord.
Many years he walked in darkness as he groped along the streets with his hands stretched out for pennies or for just a bite to eat. It's the story of a blind man who met Jesus on his way, and with the Master's touch, the man looked up as the scoffers heard him say,
somebody touch me, somebody touch me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see, I can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free.
One day he touched a crippled man and made him walk again. Then the Master saw with pleasure he had labored not in vain. Like the story of that crippled man, I once was bound by sin, but since the Master came, oh praise his name, thank God I now can say,
somebody touch me, somebody touch me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see, I can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free.
Somebody touch me.
Somebody touch me.
Somebody touch me.
I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see, I can see.
I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me,
I now am free,
I am free.
Yes, I was in darkness.
Praise the Lord, because he touched me, I'm free. Are you free tonight? If you've been born again, you are. If you're here and you have not accepted Christ as Savior, friend, you're among people who want to see that happen. And during this service, you repent of your sin and accept Christ as your personal Savior, and you will be set free. In singing this next number, number 294, during the singing of this number, we will dismiss our children ages 3 through 6. to go to their children's assembly back in the classroom, back to my left here, or to my right, which would be to your left. The other ages will stay with us. Ages 3 through 6 will go to their place of worship for the remaining service. Joining together, stand with me, number 294, Set My Soul Afire. And may that be a prayer of our hearts, not just words we sing. Thank you, church, and you may be seated.
And now it's time. It's BB time. Not BB, but Brother Bobby time. And he's going to come, and he is going to open the word to us again tonight. And we just, Bobby, come on down. I'll just meet you down here, and you don't even have to go back here tonight.
All right, that'll work. Thank you. I'm going to say it is good to be in the Lord's house with you this evening. Amen. Did I get the on-off button correct, my brother? I'm on. All right. Just want to make sure. But it is good to see you in the Lord's house this evening. It's a good crowd for a Sunday evening, at least as I look this morning and then I compare to this evening. This is a good crowd. At Barano, we normally run about a third on Sunday evening as to what we run on Sunday morning. So This is a good crowd. You got a good bit of folks back, and I'm very thankful for that. Also, I've got my family with me this evening, and most of you probably know a lot of you folks know my family, but just in case you don't know my family, my wife, Laura, she would know, yeah, she was just waving. Then I've got five children. I've got Allison, and then I got Ashley. I got Trent. I've got Amanda, and then I've got Elizabeth. How about you children stand up for me? Let everybody see you. Yeah, that's my children. I would ask Laura to stand up, but I'm not that brave. She doesn't like a crowd. And we don't normally sit together in church, and that's always a challenge whenever we go somewhere and we have to sit together. Because normally on Sunday morning, I'm doing my duties. Laura's got some duties at the church, and my children are kind of scattered abroad, and we rarely sit together, but we were sitting together tonight, so that was good. And it's also good to have some folks from our church this evening. And Victoria is already blushing. That's my adopted daughter, Victoria, and then Miss Carlene, and one of the boys. Which one are you? Austin and Timothy. I never can tell them apart. I don't know why, but it's good to have you folks with us also this evening, and all of you. If you have your word with you this evening, if you turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. As you're finding your place in the book of Luke, can you remind me of what we talked about this morning? An atmosphere for revival. And I've basically laid out four principles as to that we need to apply into our lives about creating that atmosphere of revival. Can you remind me of the first principle? Revival is for the church. All right, whoever that was, that was good. Coach Kelly said that was not him. Were you not paying attention this morning? The second principle. Yes, the church needs to acknowledge the need for revival. The third principle. Pray and seek the face of the Lord. Yes, and the fourth principle. Turn from your sinfulness. And whenever you do that, you've created a spirit of revival, and God can move in the midst of your life. And the scripture says He will hear from heaven, He will forgive your sins, and He will heal your land. This evening, and it's good to see Brother Pat with us. He told me he was going to be visiting with us tonight, or be with us tonight, so it's good to see you also. This evening, as I look in Luke chapter 4, the title of the message is real simple. His message. His message. And the His there makes reference to Jesus. His message. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 down through verse 21, reading from the New King James Version. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, which means this is something He did on a regular basis, as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, which would be their Saturday. So He's come back into His hometown, and when He gets into His hometown, He does that which He normally does. Whenever Saturday came, the day of worship came, He goes into the synagogue. And He stood up to read. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. Now, this is not going to be in the message, but as I'm just walking through the text, these are some thoughts that kind of pop up in my mind, because I love to read Scripture and just kind of talk about Scripture. Verse 17 indicates something to me. It indicates that Jesus was real familiar with the book of Isaiah. He was real familiar with the text. He was real familiar with the Scripture. You've got to remember now, they're not chapter breaks. They're not verse breaks in the book of Isaiah as He looks at it. And as He looks at it, He's able to go right to the passage which He's going to read from, which indicates to me He's very knowledgeable of the Word of God. And as He opens up the scroll and He begins to, finds the place where He wants to read from, it says in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then He closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant, and He sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on Him. And He began to say to them, "Today, this scripture," the scripture that He just read, this quoted in verse 18, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. His message. As pastor, oftentimes people come up to me out of my church and they say, Pastor, you need to preach a message on so-and-so. You need to preach a message on this. You need to preach a message on that. In front of the church where I pastor, there's this little hole in the wall that some people go and eat, and you got some older men in our area that go and visit over there. We call it Barano University, the place of great knowledge. And oftentimes I'll make my way across the road and I'll visit there with those men of knowledge. You've got some folks in this church that keep frequenting that place. I don't know if they're gaining knowledge or giving knowledge in that place, but oftentimes I go over there and there's an older man about 70-some years old, and oftentimes he'll sit down with me and he'll say, now, Brother Bobby, it's getting about that time of the year. Summertime is coming. We need to hear a good message on modesty. Then I got other people that'll catch me at the back door and they'll say, Brother Bobby, they would be ladies, Sister so-and-so, she's just going around and she's gossiping and she's telling all these things. You really need to preach a message on gossiping. And all these people are coming to me and they're telling me what I need to preach. And oftentimes I will listen to what they tell me and I will even pray about it. And if the Lord leads me in that direction, guess what? I will preach a message based on God's recommendation, not on the recommendation of those individuals that are telling me that. But if we were here this evening in this setting and Jesus Christ was to come through the doors and he was to come and he was to stand where I'm standing at this moment, I wonder what he would preach this evening. I wonder what his message would be to the Turbeville Southern Methodist Church. I wonder what his message would be to me as an individual. I can't say for certain, but as I look in this text, I'm given an indication to what his message would be if he were standing in the place that I'm standing this evening. Because the scripture says in verse 16, whenever he came back to Nazareth, where he was brought up, whenever he went back home, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue. And whenever he went into the synagogue, they handed him the scroll, and he found the place in the scroll, and he began to read. And he unfolds a message to them. Now, what was the message that he preached on that occasion? What would be the message that he would preach to us this evening? And as I break down verse 18, I find several different truths that Jesus would communicate to us this evening if he were preaching for us tonight. The first truth is simply this. Jesus would have a message for everybody. His message would be to the total body of Christ. His message would be to those who are outside the body of Christ. The scripture says in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Holy Spirit was upon Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Christos, the Messiah. The Holy Spirit was upon him. For what purpose? Because it had anointed him to preach the gospel, the good news of the gospel. But who was this gospel message to? The scripture says to the poor. The message was to the poor. The message was without limits. The message wasn't to a certain crowd of people. It was to the total body of people. The word poor there does not make reference to the financially poor, which that may include many of us. But to be honest with you, we would probably be exempt from the financially poor compared to other parts of the world because we are some of the richest people in the world. So the poor there is not making reference to financial poorness, but it's making reference to spiritual poorness. Jesus Christ came to preach the gospel. He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to those who were empty, to those who were broken, to those who had no resources in themselves to get to the place that they needed to be spiritually. He came to preach the gospel to you. He came to preach the gospel to me because we are poor. We are empty. We are desperate for the Lord. We need the Lord in our lives. There's nothing that Bobby can do to gain access to the Lord. There's nothing that Bobby can do to be saved in myself. I need God's grace in my life. I can't work enough. I can't do enough. I can't be what you need me to be in order to be saved. I need God to move in my life in order to get me to the place spiritually that I need to be. I need God's grace to cover me. We are empty without the Lord. But the good news of the gospel is, though you're empty without the Lord, though there's nothing you can do in yourself to get to where you need to be spiritually, God in His goodness, in His love, sent His only begotten Son into this world for what purpose? That you and I might be redeemed, that we might be saved, that God would grace us with His presence, and His great grace would come upon us, and He would show us favor, that we could be brought into the kingdom of God. The scripture says His message is without limits. It's to everybody. There's no resource that I have that I might be saved, but God gave the resource in His Son, Jesus Christ, that we might be redeemed. The second truth, the second part of His message. The first part of His message would be a message to everybody, without limits, whosoever will. He said, those who are heavy laden, those who are in trouble, let them come unto Me, and I'll give them rest. He says, let them come into Me, and no way will I cast them out. For God so loved the world, His message is without limits. Second, His message is a message of healing. Now, this is important. His message is a message of healing. We in the body of Christ, we need healing. There's people that are hurting in the body of Christ. And the scripture says, He has sent Me to heal the brokenhearted. And you drop down to just a couple of phrases, and it says, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, those who are downtrodden. The Lord's message, Jesus' message this evening would be a message of healing. The word healing is the idea of restoring. It's the idea of mending. It's the idea of delivering. If you have a broken bone, you go to the doctor, and they set that bone. They're trying to bring healing. They're trying to restore. They're trying to mend that broken bone. And the idea of healing there is the idea of restoration. It's the idea of deliverance. And He says to deliver or to heal the brokenhearted. Now, who are the brokenhearted? The brokenhearted are those who have broken hearts. What does it mean to have a broken heart? To have a broken heart means that your heart has been crashed. It's crushed. It means that your dreams and your visions and that which you had in view of life isn't going to come to pass. It may be you had dreams of this kind of family or this kind of children, and those children didn't turn out like you thought they were going to turn out. They didn't turn out like you envisioned them to turn out. And you're full of sorrow, and you're full of you're just struggling. You're just in a mess spiritually. You're broken. Jesus comes on the scene, and He says, the Lord has anointed Me to heal the brokenhearted. And not only to heal the brokenhearted, He said to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The idea of setting at liberty is the idea of releasing, delivering. You know, I do a little bit of hunting, and I do a little bit of deer hunting. Well, I do a good bit of deer hunting. I like to deer hunt. I just, well, be honest, I'm in the Lord's house. I always try to be honest, but I definitely need to be honest while I'm preaching. But I do a little bit of deer hunting, and I had some coons that were on my corn pile. And coon, you get a bunch of coons on your corn pile, they'll walk off with a bunch of corn. So me and Trent, we got us a trap, and we were going to trap our coons, and Trent got him a honey bun and got him some peanut butter and all of these things, and he set the trap, and you know what we caught? A possum. And I went to that trap, and you know what? That possum was in that trap, and that possum, he couldn't get out. He was caught. He was stuck there. No matter how much he tried, no matter how hard he tried to get out of that trap, guess what? He was stuck. But you know what happened? We lifted the gate up on that little trap we got, and we released that possum, and that possum was what? He was set free. He was delivered. That's the concept there when it talks about being set at liberty. Someone was bound up. Someone was caught. Someone could not do anything on themselves to get out of the situation they were in, and they were captured. He said, I've come to set at liberty those who are oppressed, those who are downtrodden, those who are full of misery. And sometimes as you live life, life gets difficult. You know, I can look at people, and on the outside, everything looks like it's going happy-go-lucky, and everything seems to be all right. But you get with people behind closed doors, and you really get intimate with them, and you really get into their life, and they really pull back the curtains of their heart, and they begin to share with you. Oftentimes, they're struggling. It may appear that they've got everything together on the outside, but really they're in misery. They're suffering. Their heart's broken. Their visions and their dreams, they've crushed. And they don't know exactly where to go or what to do or how to get out of the situation that they're in. I was talking to a lady just yesterday. I was coming home from a wedding. She called me during the wedding. I had my phone on vibrate, which was real good. And nobody even knew she had called, but whenever I got out of the wedding, I give her a call. And she began telling me, she began to say, Bobby, my plans didn't work out like I thought they were going to work out. My children, my husband, and she just continued to unfold her life story to me. And she was suicidal, and she was just struggling. And I talked with her, and I tried to walk her through some steps as far as counseling, tried to find out where she was. She wouldn't even tell me where she was, and just a whole array of difficult things. Finally, I said, before you would do anything crazy such as suicide, would you give me your word that you would call me, or that you would call another pastor, and I give that pastor's name, or you would call somebody else before you would do that awful thing of committing suicide? And she said, I give you my word that I will not do it without calling somebody. But as I come to the end of that conversation of this woman who was broken, whose dreams and visions and hopes for life were just falling apart, and she felt like she had no hope, I told that young lady this. I said, the answer to the void that's in your life is Jesus Christ. The emptiness that you feel, the only person that's going to feel that, the only person that has hope for you is Jesus Christ. And I'm preaching that message to you this evening, and I feel that Jesus Christ, if he were standing here this evening, he would be proclaiming that same message. The Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me, he has instructed me to heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty those who are captive. I'm telling you that God has a message of healing this evening, and if you find yourself in need of healing, emotional, spiritual healing this evening, God is able to do that work in your life that only he can do. Amen. Third truth, as you look back in the text, I said he has a message that's unlimited. It would be for everyone. He has a message, and it's a message of healing. He has a message, and it's a message of freedom. The scripture says he came to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind. He came to proclaim liberty. We've already talked about that concept of liberty. It's the idea of being released. It's the idea of being free. Well, who's being free? The captives. Now, whenever we see that word captives, if you're not careful, we're thinking of a prisoner. Because prisoners are held captive. And we're thinking about somebody who's potentially locked in a dungeon somewhere. In biblical times, or locked in shackles. They're in jail somewhere. But he's not talking about being locked away physically. He's talking about being locked away emotionally. He's talking about being locked away spiritually. He has come to proclaim liberty to that individual that is held captive. Held captive to what? Held captive to sin. He's enslaved with sin. He's on that slave block of sin. He can't get off that slave block of sin himself. You say, is it possible for a believer in Christ to be bound up with habits and addictions and to be bound up in sin like that? Yes, I think it is very possible for someone who's born again to live in captivity to their own thoughts, to their own habits. But God has stepped on the scene. He's allowed his son Jesus Christ to step on the scene. And he says, I've come to proclaim liberty. I've come to proclaim liberty to that individual that's held captive to themselves and to sin. He continues, and the recovery of sight to the blind. He's not talking about physical blindness there. Yes, Jesus healed the blind. More than one occasion, he healed blindness. He healed that individual that was blind. But in this text, he's not talking about physical blindness. He's talking about spiritual blindness. He's talking about that individual that is blind spiritually. He's saying, I am able to open the eyes of the blind. He says, I've come to set at freedom, or I've come to set free those who are bound up in their sin. Let me give you a couple of illustrations of this truth from my own life. Several years back, it's probably been 10, 12 years ago, pastor in the Baron Oak Church, won't call the man's name, but he often would come to my house. And he was such a regular visitor of my house whenever he would come. My children probably may remember this. They were small. They were little 5, 4, 3, 1, and they were crawling around. They were wild everywhere. Anyway, this man would come up to the house, and they'd run to the window, and they'd say, Mr. So-and-so's here, and they would get all excited. But this man, he had a drinking problem. He was an alcoholic. He drank about 18 beer every day. He worked. He was a functional alcoholic, but he worked every day. A very good boy. I grew up with him. I knew him very well. But he had a drinking problem, a very bad drinking problem. Not only did he have a drinking problem, he had a drug problem. Oftentimes, he had some drug issues, and I won't go into all of that. But he was bound. He was in trouble. And oftentimes he'd come to the house and he would visit with me and he would visit with my family, and my family loved him to death. He was just a good old barren old boy. He just had a problem, had a major problem, drinking problem, drug problem. But one Friday night he came to my house, and this Friday night was different than any other night that he'd ever been to my house. He came to my house and he didn't want to come in. He said, "Let's go to your study. Let's go to the church." Got in the study. I began talking to him. He had his older brother with him. He's got several older brothers, but he had one of his older brothers with him. He began talking to me. He began to tell me, you know, and I knew him because I just knew him. He said, "I'm in trouble." He says, "I know I got a drinking problem. I drink a lot. I know I got other issues. I need help. I need help that I can't give myself." And on that Friday night, I looked at him and I said, "Would you like for Jesus Christ to come into your life and to make a difference in who you are?" And that man said, "Yes, I would, because I have nowhere else to turn, nowhere else to go." That's whenever the Lord can meet the need of a man or a woman, whenever they realize and they acknowledge there's nowhere else to go but to him. He said, I would. Right there in my study on that Friday night, I led that man to Jesus Christ. Now we're Pentecostals, and oftentimes when somebody gets saved, we hallelujah and shout and do a little bouncing and all kind of things. But I'll be honest with you, on that Friday night, as I prayed with that man in that chair, there was no whooping, there was no hollering, there was no shouting, there was no this and there was no that. There was a few tears that trickled down the eye. But I tell you this, that man, to my knowledge, and I know him very well, he hasn't drank another beer since that day. He hasn't snorted another line of coke since that day. The Lord did something for that man couldn't do for himself. What am I preaching? I'm preaching that my God, he's a God of liberty. He's a God of freedom. He can set a man free from that which, and he can set a woman free from that which has them bound. Second illustration, real short. Young couple in my church, very faithful to my church at now. Very faithful. They come to me on an occasion, different kind of situation, but the same kind of results. They come to me and they tell me, mainly it was the wife doing the talking. The husband didn't have a whole lot to say. "My husband has been viewing porn. He's been viewing porn since he was 7 years old." Can you imagine that? 7 years old, he's been viewing porn. It's destroying our marriage. It's going to destroy our marriage. We need help. He needs deliverance, and I need deliverance. I need to be able to forgive him for that which he's done to me and to my family. The good news of the gospel is this. The message of Jesus Christ is this. He's a God of freedom. He's a God that has a message of freedom that is able to set the captive free and to open the eyes of the blind. That couple was delivered on that occasion. It took a little bit of time, a little bit of process, but they stayed committed to one another. They stayed committed to Jesus Christ. And the good news of the gospel is this. Today, they're in my church at Barren Oak. They're working. They're faithful. And they're doing great things for the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, it's a message. It's a message of healing. It's a message of freedom this evening. Fourth truth, and my final truth, in case y'all getting a little bit antsy, thinking I need to hurry up. Fourth truth is simply this. It's a message for today. His message is a message for today. It's a message for everybody. It's a message of healing. It's a message of freedom and liberty. But it's a message for today. Notice what he says in verse 19. He says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, today is the day. And the scripture says then in verse 20 that he closed the book. He rolled the scroll back up. He handed it back to the attendant. And he went and sat down. And whenever he sat down, the scripture says, every eye in the synagogue was fixed upon him. And then he made this declaration in verse 21. Today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. This scripture, what scripture? The Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The Lord has sent me to heal the broken heart, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to open the eyes of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The message of Jesus Christ is a message for today. Young people, and it's good to see you young folks in here, even though some of you's got your heads dropped and you might be nodding off or whatever, you listen to me. Jesus is not something of the past. He's not a relic of the past. He's not something that's outdated and washed up. Jesus is still relevant to today. You need Jesus more than you need anything else. These older folks, they need Jesus, but I'm telling you, us younger folks and even those younger than us, you need Jesus more than you need anything else. His message is a message for today. Get anchored in Jesus Christ. Let Jesus Christ be your guide. Let Jesus Christ be your life. Let Jesus Christ be your purpose in existence. And I'm telling you, when you get to be 80 years old, if the Lord tarries his coming and you look back over the journey of life, you will say, I'm glad that I chose to make Jesus Christ my Savior and to live my life for him. His message is a message for today. He is the good news of the gospel. Amen. If our musicians would come and they would begin to play softly. His message. What would Jesus preach if he were standing here this evening? It would be a message that was without limits. It would be a message to everyone. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. It would be a message of healing. Healing to the brokenhearted. Healing to those who are oppressed. It would be a message of freedom. He would set at liberty those who were captive. He would open the eyes of the blind. It would be a message for today. He's not some relic in the past. He's not some old washed up prophet. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is what we need this evening. That would be his message. And I want to close with this simple thought. Jesus is what you need this evening. Jesus is what the Turbeville Southern Methodist Church needs. It is what Barano Church needs. It is what any church needs. It's what we all need. As you begin to think about Jesus, so many names come into my mind, so many thoughts about Jesus. You know, he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. You know, he's the bread of life. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the comforter. He's the counselor. He's the deliverer. He's the defender of the faith. He's the eternal one. He's our friend. Did you know that? He's our friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the head of the church. He's the healer. We've already preached about him. He's Emmanuel, God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the mediator. He's the messenger. He's the rock. He's the redeemer. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's everything that we need. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father except through him. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the message that we need to be preaching. Jesus and him crucified. That's the message that we need to be preaching. That's the message that we need to be living. Let us live and let us just apply that into our lives as we walk with the Lord. His message, that's the message that we need to proclaim. Father, we're very thankful as we come to the end of this service for your love and your kindness. We're thankful once again for your word. Your word is like a two-edged sword, and it cuts down to the innermost parts of our being. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow this word to challenge us this evening, to bring us to the place that we need to be in our spiritual walk. I pray, Lord, that as we come to the end of this service and we potentially come and pray around this altar, that you would do the work that only you can do. Father, you're the healer. Lord, you're the one that's able to set the captive free. You're the one that's able to open the eyes of the blind. And Father, we just pray that you would allow your Holy Spirit to work in the lives of each individual that's present here this evening and allow your will to be worked out for your glory. In your Son's name, amen. As they continue to play softly, if you would just bow your heads with me and keep them bowed just for a moment. I feel led to do things a little bit different this evening than what we did this morning. You've heard me preach the message that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to open the eyes of the blind. If you're in this place this evening and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're lost. And if you were to die in the condition that you're in right now, you would spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. If you find yourself in that situation today, I want you to know you don't have to remain in that condition. You don't have to remain in that state. that God loved you so much that he gave his only son so that you could be redeemed. And if you're lost and undone without God, without Christ this evening, I want you just to stand up from where you are and make your way to this altar and let us pray with you that you might receive Christ as Savior. Not only is he our Savior, but he's our healer. I preach that God is able to heal the brokenhearted. And I realize at times it's difficult for people to respond to a message such as this, as far as being able to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a broken heart that needs to be healed. I'm downtrodden and I need you to lift me up. But if you're in this place this evening, and your dreams and your visions of what you thought was in your future hasn't panned out exactly like you thought they were going to pan out, and you're struggling with life this evening, and you need Jesus to make a difference in your life, I want you to stand up from where you are. I want you to make your way to this altar that we may be able to pray with you. I know this is a little bit different than a general invitation, much more specific. You have to get rid of some pride and to get to the place where you can step forward in moments like this. But if you really need that this evening, God's able to give it to you. And just offering the invitation. If you need a heart that's broken, if you're downtrodden and you need God to speak healing into your life, and you've tried every other resource and they've all come up empty, and you want God to do something special in your life this evening during this revival, if you would just step out and make your way to this altar. If everyone would please stand with me, if you're able. Now, we closed this morning with prayer around the altar, and I was very thankful for the good response. And this evening, I want us to come and find us a place around this altar. And let's close in prayer around this altar once again. Because if God's going to heal the brokenhearted, if God's going to save our people that are lost, if God's going to bring revival to this place, we must create that atmosphere for revival. We must humble ourselves before the Lord. So I invite all of you that would to come and make your way to this altar and find you a place around this altar. And let's spend some time in prayer as Dr. Blank leads us with an invitational.
As they're coming, would you join with me in singing Jesus, I Come? We'll sing the first verse over and over as needed, because you don't need to bring a book with you. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Jesus is tenderly calling today. 327. Number 327. And as you know the words, just sing it out with us, this first verse again and again. A wonderful call to come home.
We come to the close of this service. We're very thankful. We're very thankful for each one that's gathered around this altar this evening. And Father, you know every need that's present within every life. You know where we are in the spiritual journey, Lord, and you know where we need to be. And it's only you, Lord, that's going to make up the difference between where we are and where we need to be. And Father, I do pray for each one that's gathered around this altar. I thank you, Lord, for them responding and them coming and bowing at the altar and seeking your face and standing around this altar and seeking your face. And Father, I just pray that you would just challenge us as a body of believers to be totally and completely committed to you and to follow you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let our following be more than just a verbal following. Let it be a life commitment. Let our lives be that living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto you. And let us walk in that, Lord, day in and day out. Father, I pray, Lord, as we move through the rest of this week, that you would just allow your presence and your power to be manifested in this place. I pray, Lord, that you would just challenge us to become more intimate in our relationship with you and to surrender ourselves completely unto you and to do that work that only you could do. Lord, if there's any need for forgiveness, I pray, Lord, that forgiveness would be present. If there's any need for healing, Lord, I pray that healing would be present. If there's any need for liberty to be present, Lord, I pray that liberty would be present. Father, I pray that you would do what only you can do for the glory of your Son's name. Now, Father, we bless you, we honor you, and we pray, Lord, that you would just allow your grace to shine upon us and to be felt in our lives as we leave this place this evening. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Spirit of the living God, join it together.
Spirit of the
before I turn it over to Pastor Rodney or whomever, I realize that, you know, tomorrow is Monday, and if you're like me, some of you younger folks, well, older folks, whatever you want to call us, very potentially you've got children that's going to be playing ball. I know I got a girl that's got a doubleheader. I got one that's playing in Sumter, so I know there's a lot of things going on as far as rec ball and school ball. But if you've got children, there's going to be a message that I'm going to preach sometime this week, probably Wednesday night, unless something changes, and it's going to be geared towards parenting and children, because I notice I've got, thank the Lord for all of the young people in this church. Amen. I love children. Thank the Lord for them. But it's going to be geared towards that. So I know your schedule may be packed for Monday and Tuesday, but if you can make a way to be here Wednesday evening, I would appreciate that greatly. And I think it could be helpful to you in the journey of life. So I just wanted to make that statement before Pastor Rodney or whomever closes us out.
Amen.
And like we said this morning, look, we love...